Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Hello, Brooks.
Hey, Robin.
And our own Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News, Danielle Kading. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, you know we're intent on bringing you local news, but Wisconsin continues to make national news. What's keeping us in the headlines today, Danny?
Well, I think it's the growing number of cases that have been putting stress on hospitals statewide. You know, this week, state health officials reported just under 8,000 new daily cases of coronavirus on Wednesday, and that's causing a limited number of ICU beds that are available to care for those with the most severe cases of the virus. In northwestern Wisconsin, the Mayo Health Clinic system announced last week that its hospitals were at capacity, and surrounding rural hospitals have really struggled to find beds as they've been filling up in Eau Claire and that surrounding area, as well as Duluth. Hayward Memorial Hospital has had to send patients, whether they have COVID-19 or other conditions, further away for care to cities like La Crosse. Memorial Medical Center in Ashland has seen slower transfers of patients to other facilities when needed, but they have been able to get people the care they need. The issue is whether they'll be able to continue to do that if cases keep going up.
Well, Brooks, correct me if I'm wrong, but that sounds like the story in Minnesota, and there are a lot of new developments in the state.
Yeah, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz on Wednesday announced a four-week shutdown of bars, restaurants, venues, fitness clubs, all starting today, Friday, in order to slow the pandemic, which in Minnesota has killed more than 3,000 people now. You know, one telling statistic, it was from the State Health Department Commissioner Jan Malcolm, who said 2 weeks ago, we thought 5,000 cases a day was horrific. Now that looks like a good day. The virus is spreading around the community uncontrollably with a high percentage of test positivity rates. And so this will look a little different than the initial shutdown in the early stages of the pandemic, a little more targeted. But as far as bars and restaurants go, they will be closed completely except for takeout service.
If I could add, you know, this week Governor Tony Evers announced he's declaring another public health emergency to extend the state's mask mandate. And really, the governor and his administration have struggled to put in place orders like what Minnesota is doing, as the Republican-controlled legislature has fought him with lawsuits, and the private industry has fought him with lawsuits. The Wisconsin Supreme Court heard arguments in a lawsuit the other day that aims to strike down the existing mask mandate and prevent similar types of orders.
Well, also on the political front, the presidential election is still making local and national news. What's going on with the recount?
Yeah, on Wednesday this week, President Donald Trump's campaign filed a request for a partial recount in Milwaukee and Dane counties. You know, those are counties with the state's largest cities like Milwaukee and Madison, which are pretty Democratic strongholds. And the Trump campaign is spending about $3 million on the recount. The Wisconsin Election Commission had said earlier this week that it would cost close to $8 million to do a recount for the entire state. President Trump and his supporters have alleged without evidence that there were irregularities with voting, but the recount is not expected to change the results.
And the campaign is not contesting our own blue area of Douglas County?
No, they are not. But closer to home here, it looks like it's still a question whether Keith Kern will request a recount in the 73rd Assembly District race. He told the Superior Telegram this week that he hadn't yet decided what to do after canvassing in Douglas County confirmed that Nick Milroy had won by less than 150 votes.
Nick Milroy being the incumbent Democrat and Kern the Republican challenger.
That is correct.
Brooks, our region is seeing a particular voting bloc flexing its muscle, also again impacting the nation.
Yes. Before the election, I took a look at Minnesota's indigenous voters, of which there are 80,000 around the state. And new voter registration was surging, especially on some of the reservations. In north central Minnesota, the Red Lake Nation reported 5,500 new voter registrations. And it looks like, looking at precinct maps, that turned into actual turnout. In fact, on the Red Lake Reservation, President-elect Joe Biden enjoyed his largest winning margin out of anywhere in the state, and we will be writing about that more in the coming week. In Wisconsin, too, with such a narrow margin of victory for Biden, it could have been the indigenous voters that really pushed it over the edge. In Wisconsin, there are about 90,000 people who identify as Native American, and the margin for victory for Biden was about 20,000 votes. So increased turnout among indigenous voters could have pushed the election over the edge.
Once again, local and national ramifications to it. And there's an international story that impacts our area, yes?
Yes, international shipments of wind turbine parts. Those are the giant blades and tower parts that have been arriving by ship at record levels through the port of Duluth Superior this year. By the end of the year, the port of Duluth expects about 500,000 tons of turbine blades and tower parts will have moved through the port. That's more than 200,000 tons, greater than last year's single season record. Now, these come from places as far as Brazil, Germany, Turkey, India, Malaysia, and Spain, and they're all going toward upper Midwest wind farms. One of the projects that these parts are bound for is Xcel Energy's Blazing Star 2 project in southwest Minnesota. It's a 200 megawatt wind farm, part of the company's big wind push this year as it aims to be carbon free by 2050. It's pretty impressive if you haven't seen these giant blades travel on the highway or come in by ship. It really is a sight because they are just massive, and I got the chance to go down and see workers help unload a ship, and it takes several days to get all that cargo unloaded, and then you gotta move them up the highway one by one, slowly, and it's quite the sight.
All right. That's it for our regional wrap-up, or should I say our regional, national, and international wrap-up of the news. You can read the stories by Brooks and the Star Tribune's entire Twin Ports Bureau at www.startribune.com/northreport, and be sure to subscribe to their local newsletter. Thank you, Brooks.
Thank you, Robin.
We've also been joined by my colleague, Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Robin.
And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. Next week, we're off to bring you an American Thanksgiving with music and conversation featuring Wisconsin performers Adam Grewal, Paco Frelick, and Ariane Lydon.
To go outside, to skip or run.
I'm Robin Washington. Stay safe, everyone.
To